The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Carson Anderson program. Gator with you today from Lions practice. Doug had to leave a little bit early, but no worries. Be back the rest of the week. We take your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. And we had asked the question, coming out of the interview we did with Jared Goff, what was the one thing you took away out of that talk? What struck you most? And got some response to that from Chad in the truck. I think hearing Jared Goff's compliment of the defense and how it's going to be this year is a good sign. We needed to hear that. Also about Hutch. We need a solid defense to win this North Division. Again, that's from Chad in the truck. And then we have this one. Goff saying Hutch reminds him of Aaron Donald the way he's a disruptor in practice. Says a lot. I can't wait to see him out there healthy. That's from Jamie. And I would agree. I think we're all very excited to see what Aiden Hutchinson looks like, what this defense looks like in real live action once the regular season starts. We're going to see a little bit of that on Wednesday and Thursday while we're out here practice because they'll have joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. And I still maintain you get way more out of the joint practices than you do in the preseason game because you will actually see the ones versus the ones because it's a practice. So I'm looking forward to that. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. We're also asking about the backup quarterback situation. And certainly Kyle Allen took a big step forward on Friday night, and Hendon Hooker looked like he took a step back. Turned the ball over twice, had it jarred loose from him. He didn't necessarily throw the ball poorly, he didn't secure the football. And the second fumble was the one that had Dan Campbell saying enough's enough, and out came Kyle Allen for the following series, and he finished the rest of what would be the end of the game, unfortunately for both teams, as we had that injury to Maurice Norris early in the fourth quarter. But is the quarterback competition, the backup quarterback competition for the Lions, is it over now? Do you think it's done? Like, is it done in the sense that Kyle Allen's got this? He's the better quarterback. It's clear after two preseason games that he is. Or do you think that there still is wiggle room and an opportunity for Hendon Hooker to overtake that? 248-539-9797. Kang, I will ask this question of you. Do you think the backup quarterback competition is over?
I don't want to say it's over, but I think Hendon Hooker is well behind. I know it's kind of a cop-out answer right there, but I mean, I think Doug said earlier on the show, you don't have to make a decision right now. And so if I had to make a decision right now, yeah, it's over. I think Kyle Allen won the job. That's me saying this from my couch, watching what we can watch, right? I don't get to see practice every day like they do. I don't get to evaluate the film like they do. I don't know how, getting in and out of the huddle during practice, how each guy looks. But as far as I'm concerned, if decision was made today, I think Kyle Allen wins the job and the Hendon Hooker thing is over. And that doesn't mean Kyle Allen is actually going to be the backup when we go deep into the season. I mean, a couple years ago, they released both quarterbacks that were backing up Jared Goff. So the Lions are in a different spot than some other teams. They are in a win the championship. They have the ability to win the championship right now. And so when you go to the playoffs, there's a reason why they brought Teddy Bridgewater in last year, is because if for any reason, and it actually did happen, Goff had to leave the game in that playoff game, they had to go to a guy they trust that can run this offense and possibly just manage it at least enough to get the win. And you got to be able to trust that guy. So hopefully whoever is the backup, whether it's Hooker or Allen, they can trust that person, that quarterback, to help lead this team.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that I'm kind of like you. I think there's a pronounced leader right now, but there's still a couple weeks left in the preseason, and you don't have to make that decision now. I think there's a strong step in the direction of Kyle Allen. But like I said, you go back a week ago, Kyle Allen looked terrible in the first preseason game, and he looked really good last week. Hendon Hooker wasn't asked to do a whole bunch in the first preseason game. He was 3-for-6 and should have been 4-for-6 with a long pass that was stripped out of the hands of the receiver. But then he turned the ball over twice on Friday night, and you can't have it. Like the first one, all right, I'll brush it off. Say you're trying to make a play with your feet. You've rushed out of the pocket, and you're flush out of the pocket, and you're trying to make a positive play. But you got to take care of the ball, and it got knocked out of your hands. That's not good. All right, get out there, another opportunity. And then he starts driving. The team is moving downfield. I forget if the second fumble happened inside the red zone. It was just outside the red zone, but they were moving the football. And then he takes a quarterback sack on a play where he saw the rusher the entire time. The guy's coming right to him, and he didn't secure the ball well enough, and it got jarred loose. And, you know, that game was over for Hendon Hooker. If you're, you know, coaching staff, do you think that they're just going to say for the rest of the preseason, all right, now we got to get Kyle Allen up to speed, give him all the reps? Or is this still a situation where there's competition? 248-539-9797. I think it's pretty close to being done. I think maybe next week that you'll find that it is done. I can't imagine. I mean, look, as much as I like Hendon Hooker, I don't know if there's a whole lot that he can do to turn those fortunes around. I don't know who's going to play next week. Maybe they bring some more starters into play and give these guys a more accurate look. But Kyle Allen looked good, really good. And I think it's all but closed the door. A lot of people think otherwise. A lot of people think that, no, that door is shut. There's no way in hell that he's going to get that opportunity. And I can understand that as well. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number if you'd like to text. Let's go to Dan in Detroit. Dan, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, welcome, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm super. You know, my thing is we've had, you know, I believe is it going on 3 years now with Hooker? And in my opinion, I just don't see the progression. You know, with Allen out there watching him, he looks so much more comfortable and fluent, even when he was dropping back in the pocket. And it seems to me Hooker just, he's like a deer in the headlights out there. And maybe this ain't the right system for him. Maybe we cut him and he goes to another team and in a different system suits him better. That's just my opinion, guys.
Yeah, it might be. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It might be. But in fairness, it's really been – this is the second real training camp he's had. The first training camp he came to, he didn't really participate much in it. I believe he was on a pup list that whole time, so he couldn't even get reps in practice. He was able to throw before or after practice. We did see some of that on the field. But you know, as far as actual practice was concerned, he wasn't able to until, I think, much later in the season. So this is really the second training camp he's had. But – you know, other quarterbacks have been able to make their mark at that point, or at least to separate themselves and say, oh, this guy's going to be the backup, or this guy deserves to be a starter. And, you know, fortunately for the Lions, if we're talking about the backup quarterback in training camp, normally it's one of two things. Either it's because the starting quarterback is not good enough or he got hurt, or there's nothing really of substance so far that has developed that we need to discuss. I mean, we're talking about the backup quarterback situation. Fortunately, and knocking on wood here, they've got an excellent starting quarterback. An excellent starting quarterback. You know, but no matter how you slice it, Jared Goff's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And it's interesting. The Athletic just came out with their different tiers of quarterbacks, and a top tier was a team can win solely based on the quarterback play alone, that the quarterback can take things over. And there were five quarterbacks on that list. Five guys made that list. It's interesting who number five was. We'll talk about that next. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I mentioned before the break that The Athletic came out with their annual quarterback tiers. And tier one is a quarterback that can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game. That's how they define a tier one quarterback. There are five, count them, five quarterbacks listed as tier one quarterbacks. Kang, would you care to take a stab at who the five quarterbacks are that are tier one quarterbacks according to The Athletic?
Okay, based on what you told me the criteria was, I'll go Lamar Jackson.
Yes, Lamar Jackson is number four.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is number three.
Patrick Mahomes.
Is number one.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is number two.
Now the last one is, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. I think he's really disrespected, though, so I actually don't even expect him to be five, but he would be my fifth.
I love your reasoning. I think he's deserving of it, and he's not in there.
Yep, that's what
Jalen
I thought.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's listed as, I believe he's tied for ninth on this list. And I do think it's disrespect. I don't think people appreciate what he does as a quarterback because he's more than just a guy who can throw the football, which, by the way, he can throw the football. He's got weapons and he uses them, but he's also a weapon himself. And
yeah, but has he won a Super Bowl?
Oh, let me check. Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you can't use that knock.
No, you can't use that knock, so I'm not sure why he's knocked.
That would have been my fifth guy, though.
I think it's a good number five. If I had to go with my fifth, I probably would have had it's hard not to say him. And so I probably would have gone with him at five. I would have considered Jaden Daniels.
That's not bad.
Who is number six on this list.
So he is not number five.
He is not number five.
Is it Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert is number seven.
Okay. He gets a lot of love from the media, though, I feel like. You know,
he
maybe
gets
almost
so
too much.
Much love from the media. I think way too much. And I think, look, he may end up being a hell of a quarterback, but he's had opportunities and he hasn't risen to the occasion. I think he's a good quarterback, and, you know, if we didn't have Jared Goff, would I like to have – yeah, sure, fair enough. But I'm not going to heap a ton of praise on a quarterback that hasn't gotten it done yet. So he is actually seven.
Is it Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford is the number five quarterback.
Oh, it listed. Is? It is
He
Stafford.
Is listed as a tier one quarterback. Again, tier one quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game. I find this to be amusing. In that, not that I don't like Matthew Stafford, I think Matthew Stafford was really good as a Lions quarterback when he was here. But how the book gets rewritten when you get traded and win a Super Bowl, and I get it because you win a Super Bowl. It was such a team effort. It wasn't all on Stafford. I think Stafford's fine. I would not put him in a tier one.
This town ran out a tier one quarterback.
Right. I mean, this is what it comes down to. It's like, oh, are you sure he's a tier one quarterback? I mean, because then this is where the word elite gets thrown around there, and I get really defensive about the word elite. I'm like, you got to slow your roll with elite. There's like literally two or three that should be considered elite, and Patrick Mahomes is one of them. And then everybody's battling to have that other spot. Otherwise, you're watering down what the word means. If you have five quarterbacks in a tier one situation, that's fine. I could buy that. But I would say that there is a big difference between the first four quarterbacks and Matthew Stafford. Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. I think what gets him, obviously the Super Bowl gives him a ton of street cred now, you know, that he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But everyone's always loved his arm. And what do they say about Matthew Stafford? Arm talent. That's the thing that's always followed him since college. And when he was with the Lions, you know, you knew he had it, but they didn't win enough games to be recognized. But once he went to L.A. and your boy McVay, the quarterback guru, and they win a Super Bowl, that arm talent thing became huge, like capital letters arm talent, right? Because he can make all the throws. Now, I wouldn't say there's no weakness to his game. That's why I wouldn't put him in that
tier one.
No
holes in his game?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a little strong on Stafford there. Do I think he'd be a tier two quarterback? I think he fits more in a tier two, but whatever. So tier two is defined as a quarterback that can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possessions, other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. So six is Jaden Daniels, seven is Justin Herbert, eight is Detroit's own Jared Goff, which I think is accurate. I think it's accurate to have him in that slot. I don't think – I don't know if I'd have Stafford ahead of him. Stafford's older. He's more banged up. He's not as durable. So I think I would knock him down for that, but not by much. I think they're similar. I think they're very similar quarterbacks. Not going to make a big case out of this. I just thought it was interesting when you look at that.
Yeah, these rankings are good for debate and things like that.
Mm. Exactly. Yep. It is what it is. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number if you'd like to text. Let's go to Corey in Birmingham. Corey, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Gary, sure. I was listening. I love the show, by the way. I listen every day.
Thank you.
The Hutch thing, are we really talking about that with Darnold? Like, seriously? I heard that, and I'm like, really? Wow. Is it because of the five sacks against Tampa Bay before he got injured? I mean, where is this? You know way more football than I do. Do you actually see that?
Well, Corey, I would say this. Last year what we saw in just five games, I think it was 7.5 sacks in five games, and the pressure rate was extraordinary. Like, he was out of football for the next 3 weeks, and he was still the leader in pressures because he had been that dominant in getting past. And by all accounts in practice, he looks better than ever. I mean, he is disruptive enough where they have the quote-unquote Hutch rules where they have to stop. You know, or normally they would stop and blow play dead, but now they're like, we can't blow the play dead. We're not going to get a practice done. So just ignore the fact that Hutch just sacked the quarterback and keep running the play.
Gotcha. I do see the energy. I do see the greatness coming. But real quick, I want to touch on the golf thing. I don't like the backup quarterbacks. I don't think great of either one of them. But golf, we might need to take a look at him too. He's the one that threw five interceptions last year. He's the one that McVay got rid of because he only scored 3 points with the Rams in that Super Bowl with a top five offense and defense. So we might have to kind of look. And I know golf is accurate. When he's going, he's going. But maybe I'm dealing with the same thing. Dak is not the guy. I'm a Cowboy guy. Dak can't get over this playoff shrinkage. So maybe it's time to kind of look at, is golf really the guy to get the Lions to where they need to
be? Well, they really think he is. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. They obviously really think he is. They gave him the giant contract after the draft last year. I think he was deserving of it. I think he's done something that Lions quarterbacks haven't done, win multiple playoff games. He won two a couple years ago. Remember that? Got all the way to the NFC Championship game, and the Lions fell short in the second half with just this crazy sequence of plays that went against them. But, yeah, he turned the ball over way too much against Washington, and the defense was, non-existent in that game as well. There's plenty of blame to go around for that particular game. I really wish that the Lions had not been so decimated by injuries. But I don't think there's any question that Jared would tell you as well. He had to play better in that situation. And he didn't. He didn't play well in that game. And it's really unfortunate. And I hope, and I would imagine also, that he uses that as a chip on his shoulder and as a reminder, you can never get complacent. And not that he is, but he's got stuff to prove. He absolutely has something still to prove. Even when you get these tier quarterback rankings, whatever it takes for somebody to get motivated, and I'm not saying this is what motivates him, but I would use it to motivate me. Be like, are you kidding me? The guy I was traded for is in this top tier. He won a Super Bowl right after I got out of there. This sucks. I want to win that too. And I know he wants to win. I know the Lions desperately want to win. I think he's the right quarterback to get things done. I think it's if this team can stay healthy, I think they have one of the best, if not the best, roster in all of football. So let's hope that they can stay healthy. We're at training camp. We want to get excited about this team, and yet we're probably not going to see much of these guys in that first unit play at all during training camp. We will this week on Wednesday and Thursday because of the joint practices with the Dolphins, and they've got joint practices next week as well. When they finish up the preseason. But as far as the preseason games are concerned, you're not going to see much, except for perhaps competition for that backup quarterback position. We'll hear from the Lions quarterback, Jared Goff, coming up next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, do you need a new garage door? I know it's kind of a crazy question to ask, but I've had to go through this in my life. In fact, a few years ago, I needed to get a new garage door, but I knew who to call. I called Precision Garage Door Service because they had been to my house before to help me with some of the repairs I needed on my garage door. And then they even told me, they said, listen, years from now, you're going to need a garage door. So I called them at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR. They came out right away, walked me through the entire process, and really made it easy for me to pick through the different options. I selected doors that were perfect for my house. I couldn't be happier. I'm passing this on to you, too, because I think this would benefit you. Give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can schedule an appointment online at a time that works for you. The website, precisiondoormi.com. That's it. Either call 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or schedule an appointment online at precisiondoormi.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, no, that's no good. We've got protocols in place for that now. They're not allowed to do that anymore.
Thank God for COVID.
Yeah, right. Holy smokes.
Congratulations, new father.
Yeah,
how
thank you
it?
Guys. Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Mama's been doing the heavy lifting, but I've been there for a lot of the fun parts and enjoying being her dad. And she's doing a great job. And I wish I could be home more often right now, but duty calls a little bit. But she's doing a hell of a job.
What has been the biggest change in your life that old Jared Goff could do or used to do and now just can't?
Since having a daughter?
Yeah.
Things that I could do. I mean, we're home a lot right now, so going to dinner is something that seems like such a challenge right now, whereas before it was something we could do easily. I'm a new father, but you guys who have kids know that, like, the whole world kind of revolves around them now.
Yep.
To some extent of what their schedule is and when they're going to sleep, when they're going to eat, so... my whole schedule's changed a bit.
So you got a while before the kid gets mobile, but have you started to childproof the house already? And
yeah, there's some things on doorknobs and some sharp objects that we kind of put up higher. But yeah, she's not mobile by any means, and she's doing great though.
Your dog Quincy became sort of a personality, yeah. And then the TV show Quarterback helped with that.
Yeah,
how's Quincy reacted to?
Quincy's been good. Quincy's a little bit indifferent on baby girl. He's he could take it or leave it, but he's been awesome. He's protective and loves laying there when she's sleeping.
That's pretty great. It's awesome, and I'm sure your teammates are proud that you did this before the season began, before training camp.
Yeah, there was a lot of planning going on there to get that ahead of the season to help us, you know, enter the training camp a little more smoothly.
All right, how's training camp going?
It's good. It's been good. It's been fun. It's been warmer days out here, which I think will be good for us in the long run. And easy for me to say it at quarterback, and I don't have to be running around as much. These guys probably wish it was 60 degrees every day, and I understand that. But I think it's been good for us. I think it's been really fun to be out here and go through a little bit of a grind in the heat and certainly having good days, having not so good days. So there's some challenges. We're overcoming some stuff, as training camp should be, and it's been fun.
Jared, I know you want to get better in every facet of your game, but is there something specific that you want to be better about this version of Jared Goff than a year ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the latter half of my career, it's always kind of been like being better at getting to 3 and 4, and it's continuing to be that way. You know, 1 and 2 in a progression, you'd like to think a good offense, you're getting that guy 1 or 2 open 60-70% of the time. But being able in that 30-40% of the time to accurately and quickly get to 3 and 4 and to know when to get there and to know, you know, where the ball needs to be and all that stuff I'm always working on. And it's a challenge, man. Not many guys are able to get all the way through it, and I try to take pride in doing that and keeping plays alive for offense.
There's always going to be challenges and changes year to year, but this year, couple of big ones. You got a different coordinator who you've worked with before, but
yeah,
a different coordinator, different guy calling plays, and also no Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through what happened? Did you have a discussion with Frank? Did he let you know, or did Dan Campbell
let
you know?
Yeah, of course. I talked to Frank, and I'm happy he made the decisions that's best for him. I think he was really battling with it, and I'm not going to put any words in his mouth, but I'm very happy that he's happy now and in a good place, and I'm pretty sure he feels good about the decision. And we talk, you know, here and there, you know, every week or so, and he's doing well.
What do you say to the fans that are like, oh, no, no Ben Johnson. Oh, no, no Frank Ragnow.
Who's saying that?
Fans.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess I don't have anything to say to them. We'll have to find out. You know, we've got good players to fill in. We've got a good coach to fill in. Those guys, obviously Ben's a hell of a coach. Frank's a hell of a player. But that's why we have, you know, training camp and all this time to get better and get ready. And certainly still have a lot of really good players on this team and everyone that's been improving from last year.
What do you like most about John Morton, the new OC?
What do I like most about him? Great question. I think I love that. He's very flexible and willing to listen, and by no means is that a slight on Ben. Ben was very similar in that way too, but I think that's one of his strengths right now, is a guy who's, you know, he did it with the Jets, but he's doing it again for the first time in a long time. He's very willing to listen to not only me, but St. Brown and Laporta and JMO and, like, Gibbs, Montgomery. Like, what do we like to do? What do we love doing up front? He's very much about getting input and applying it.
Have you had to take a little bit of a step back and let me see and engage how he's going to run things before you automatically volunteer your input?
Sure. Yeah, I think that was in OTAs, though. I think I feel we have a really good relationship at this point where I feel very comfortable saying what I think, and so does he to me. We're not trying to make each other feel good, and not that we're, like, arguing about anything, but it's, like, very direct and very how he wants it and very how I want it. And if we agree, great. If we disagree, we'll have a conversation, and that's the way it's supposed to go. There's nothing confrontational about it. It's just the way it's supposed to be.
Can you evaluate the two guys battling to be your backup, what you've seen from Hendon Hooker out here in practice and Kyle Allen? Because we don't see him every day. You do.
Yeah, I think they're both doing a great job. They're both improving every day and running the offense well, and yeah, it's been fun to see Hendon, I think, for 3 years continue to get better and better, and starting to come into his own a little bit as a player. And then Kyle's new to me as a teammate, but he's gotten better since OTAs and doing a great job.
Speaking of guys and playing with guys for years now, it's one of the things that I think Doug and I both admire what Brad Holmes has done, kind of rebuilt this team, and you guys are all growing together. You know, like the fourth year for a lot of you guys. Do they still surprise you? Does Amon-Ra St. Brown still surprise you? Is Sam Laporta come up with something like, I haven't seen you do that, or Jamison Williams?
I mean, surprise is, I guess, the wrong word. I think I'm just, you know, so impressed by some of these guys. St. Brown made a catch the other day. He was running a fade, and I threw it back shoulder, and he caught it like this. And I don't know if I've ever seen it. It's kind of hard for you guys to picture that. But, yeah, and then JMO, and you saw JMO today make the long touchdown catch. No, it's not surprising. I think it's fun to watch and fun to see. These guys are all pro caliber players. They're some of the best players in the league. And, you know, I try to do my best to maximize them, and they try to do the same for me.
Not to shortchange anybody, but a player that has caught the fans' eye that they seem to love in the early going is the rookie Isaac Tesla.
Yeah, Michigan native.
How good is he?
He's great. He's been doing a good job. He's been getting better, too. And I think I saw it early last week, kind of a little bit of a flip switch for him where he realized, like, the speed of the game and kind of started to catch up to how fast everything moves and how physical he needs to be, and feeling more confident and comfortable. I can tell he is feeling, and that's always great for me, and I'm just trying to help him as best I can. And, again, just trying to do my best to push him along and maximize him. And again, he's a guy who wants to be pushed. He wants to be taught. And when you get players like that, like Brad continues to kind of bring in, it makes it really easy for me.
Another rookie on your side of the ball, Tate Ratledge, steps in. Looks like he's going to be the starting right guard. You got Glasgow at center. You've worked with Glasgow before at center, but – talk about those two in the interior and also with Mahogany in the interior. Yeah. It's kind of a whole new group there.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's, you know, what training camp is so great for is the gelling of those guys. It's kind of a non-tangible thing that they are able to feel each other's pass-offs and pass protection. They're able to feel each other's, you know, B-blocks, deuce blocks up to the linebacker. And I think that takes a little bit of time to get used to when it's different in there, but they're getting better at it every day. And Tate as a rookie has been so impressive to me, his maturity and his ability to handle information. And Mahogany, even, you know, him, I know he's not a rookie, but he didn't play as much last year, and he's going through some of those things too and doing a great job handling it. And like I said, as they continue to gel, things will only get better.
You can provide perspective that nobody else can. Can you tangibly tell that the defense is better, or is that impossible?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you see?
They're much more confident and comfortable. I think mostly just because they're a year older, and all their dudes are back, and it's fun to practice against. It is. It's a challenge. they make it really hard. Coach Shep's making it really hard on me. Those two guys in the back end with Kirby and Branch, I can't imagine a better two to practice against every day. DJ Reed's been a tremendous addition for us from leadership and pure ability. Obviously, the linebackers have done great, and then Hutch has been pretty unbelievable to this point.
We've heard about the Hutch rules, that he's been disruptive enough where even if he gets back, they're let the play continue because it's just what – is yeah. he – how frustrating is that?
Yeah, it's like Aaron Donald back in the day. It's the same way. He's a guy who can ruin a game. He's certainly ruined practice for us a couple times offensively, and I'm so happy he's on our side and I don't have to play against him.
Kedar, we got to let him go, but you usually have some non-sports Jared Goff life questions. So
sure.
do you have anything for him?
The TV show Quarterback.
Yeah.
So we all got a chance to watch it. We enjoy it very much. Doug's very much enamored with the fire pit of Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins has sweet backyard.
He does have a nice yard, huh?
So, I mean, first of all, I'll save Doug the question here. How is your backyard game and your fire pit?
Ooh, good question.
And also,
we have a fire pit.
Excellent.
Don't use it very often, but we have one.
Is there something that happened during that show that your teammates or fans have come up to you and mentioned more often than not?
Oh, great question. I think the stumble bum got a lot of attention. Being able to see like the makings of that was, I thought, really cool, and I got a lot of people talking to me about that. To be honest, Quincy is like very much people sure. asking me about him all the time. He's become a little bit of a star in his own. Yeah, I think those would probably be the two. And then I think people were – I loved being able to pull the curtain back a little bit and show people what it's like. And I think all three of us did a great job of kind of letting them into our lives to some extent. And I thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was really cool to show people. I get a lot of feedback, honestly, from, like, the UK. Like, you know, it's similar to when we saw F1 on Netflix.
Right,
right.
And got able to see that world. I think they don't get to see behind the curtain as much, you know, over there. And a lot of people that I know over there are loving it.
How's the fishing?
Right now, not great. A little hot. Yeah.
Do you have an F1 driver?
No, I don't. I don't really follow it that well. I guess I'll say Hamilton because I'm a casual fan. But
yeah.
No, I wish I watched it more.
Well, we did love Quarterback and, of course, watching you play.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good to see you again and continued success.
Good to see you. I'll see you 18 times this week over the phone.
Good.
That's great.
I love it.
Right. Stay healthy.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, congratulations
again. All
right,
again. Thanks, guys.
New dad.
Yes, sir.
Jared Goff. It is Carson Anderson from Lions Training Camp here on 97.1 The Ticket.
97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, Michigan Auto Law Auto Accident Attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. They do that because it leads to better results for their clients that happen quicker. They take fewer on purpose, more time for your case. Many people call Michigan Auto Law because they can't get a call back from their current law firm. Proactive communication is super important to them. They return all phone calls within 24 hours. Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
This Odyssey.com Sports Minute is brought to you by Moran Chevrolet.
This is Zach Gale with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Was Shedeur Sanders perfect in his NFL debut? No, but he was awesome to watch, left me wanting more while he completed 14 of 23 passes for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I know it's just the preseason, but I left that game saying it's not a matter of if Shedeur starts in the regular season, but as to when. Sure, Cleveland will throw old man Joe Flacco to the wolves for the Browns' first 6 tough games of the season, but after that on October 19th, I would start Shedeur against the Miami Dolphins. I'm Zach Gelb.
Check engine or ABS light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hot damn! Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea just got harder with Twisted Tea Extreme. Twisted Tea Extreme is made with real brewed tea, goes down smooth, and an 8% kick of alcohol. Dial up the fun with Twisted Tea Extreme. Keep it twisted!
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Citizens, since we each upgraded to Xfinity in our homes, the Wi-Fi has been booming. It's fair to say our town has officially become a boomtown.
Mayor, will I be able to drop into multiplayer gaming battles with low lag?
The lag won't be an issue, but your questionable skills, maybe.
And what if I have hundreds of devices on the Wi-Fi? Purely hypothetical.
Seems like a lot, but sure, hundreds of devices all booming together with the Xfinity Gateway. Yes, friends and neighbors, with Xfinity, the Wi-Fi is booming!
The Wi-Fi isn't the only thing that's booming. Now get the most reliable Wi-Fi and our best-in-class equipment for one consistent price for 5 years guaranteed, all in. Plus, get unlimited data included and no annual contract, all with the 5-year price guarantee from Xfinity. Visit Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New residential customers only. Select plans only. Xfinity Gateway with XFi Complete required for unlimited data, except in certain areas. Most reliable Wi-Fi based on Open Signal Awards USA. Fixed Broadband Experience Report, August 2024. Actual speeds vary.
Make Builders First Source your destination for professional window and exterior door installation services. Add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. Then have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders First Source installation team. Done right with quality products and services. Visit one of our locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township or online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com.
At Kroger, you never compromise. You get high quality and low prices. Like you never compromise your meal with our spring salad mix that's guaranteed fresh. And you never compromise your budget with lower prices on over 1,000 items. Hand it to Kroger shoppers. You never compromise. Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Here's a great deal on Kroger brand 80% lean ground beef. 3-pound rolls are only $4.99 a pound with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get the best bets for the biggest matchups, plus updates on betting trends before the game start. You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Get it on the Odyssey app live, weekdays 3 to 7. Karsh and Anderson, live from Lions Training Camp. Brought to you by Moran Chevrolet on 97.1 The Ticket.
So I was saying to Kane during the break and also talking to some of the guys out here that I'm amazed at how incredibly well-maintained these practice fields are. So this goes on after every practice. I think it's every practice that they bring out the lawnmowers. They have two lawnmowers out there. They are definitely bagging, but they mow it every day, so they're not mowing much, but they do mow every single day. And these things, Kang, I think you said it right. They're not exactly street legal. These aren't the lawnmowers.
Did they name one of them Red Dragon?
I think maybe one of them is Red Dragon. I thought I heard some white snake coming out of it.
Here we go again on my own.
But these things are, like, trucking along. This is not what you see the landscaper is typically using, you know, out doing your yard. I mean, these are, like, serious machines. They're like go-karts that happen to mow lawns as well, and it's impressive. But beyond that, right, because there's two full football fields out here. They are side-by-side. So two full length 100 yards with the full on end zones on both sides. They got, you know, there's literally two sets of goalposts, so four goalposts total. It's wildly impressive. So this goes on after every practice. Not only are they mowed, and then of course they'll be irrigated and the whole bit, but they also have a crew of guys out here walking around with divot mix. So if you've ever gone to a golf course and you see that usually some of the carts will have divot mix on there, or there'll be divot mix at the tee box. So after you've, you know, torn up the tee box, you can get a scoop, put it down to the divot you've taken up, smooth it out, and move on. They have the same thing going on here. These guys are walking around with these giant, like, 3-gallon buckets full of divot mix and a little scoop, and they're just putting it on the field. And they do this after every practice. These are the most pristine fields ever. It's amazing. And I kind of want to – I mean, I look at this and I'm like inspired. I kind of want to run. I mean, not really. I don't want to run. But I'm just saying, I kind of want
to. But not really, though, right?
I mean, but not really. I mean, you know, it's really – don't take me at my word. But it – you know what I mean, though? It's amazing how this looks. But good for them. And I imagine that the players like, yeah, this is why we like playing on grass. Because if you can play on grass like this, I can understand why you'd never want to play on anything else. Turf hurts. This is pretty nice out here. Anyway, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to Texas if you like to comment that way. You just heard from Jared Goff there. I thought there were some interesting things he had to say. The defensive side of the ball, when Doug asked him about that, and Doug couldn't even get the question out of his mouth about the defense before Jared was like, oh, hell yeah. It was not a, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. You know, he got all up in there. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Huel. It was a combination of Huel Perkins and Kool-Aid. It was hell yeah coming through the wall. Very excited about this defense. And that gets, I think, everybody else excited about this defense. And it's not just the easy button, which is Aiden Hutchinson. Jared Goff talked about the safeties and how difficult they are to play against and to game plan against. And, you know, he put the question out there that I would love to ask every offensive coordinator in the league that has to get ready for the Lions is, you know, picking your poison. What do you got to look out for? How difficult is that for a quarterback? I mean, I suppose pass protection is one thing. You have to rely on your line and running backs to give you protection to throw the football. But the coverage is something different. You have to recognize the coverage. You have to discern what's going where, who's going where, and what's going to end up being open. And you have to figure that out before you get to the line of scrimmage. And then as soon as the ball snapped, your head's on a swivel. You got to figure all that out. Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph are a problem for the rest of the league. And, you know, it's interesting, Kang. We were talking about the different tiers of quarterbacks and how the Athletic came out with their tier one quarterbacks, and there are five of them. The Lions on their schedule this year play four of those five quarterbacks. They'll take on Lamar Jackson in week three, Patrick Mahomes in week six. They have Matthew Stafford coming up in week 15. And I know I'm missing another one. Joe Burrow in week five. They play four of the top five tier one quarterbacks in the league. The only one they don't play is Josh Allen. It's tough. It's tough in this league, but I like knowing that the Lions' safeties are two of the best in the game. It's not like they have one of the top 10 safeties. In a lot of different services, depending on when you're looking at ESPN or The Athletic or wherever, CBS Sports, whatever you look at, when they start ranking safeties, the Lions have like two of the top 10. That's a massive advantage for the Lions defense.
Goff also mentioned DJ Reed, which I think is one of the more underrated signings of the entire league, entire year, because the Lions are obviously a championship caliber team. And to replace Carlton Davis with something I think they actually upgraded in, that's huge.
Yeah, they definitely needed to replace, but they did replace. And as you said, some people think he might be a better corner. Carlton Davis is really good for this team. Really like what Carlton Davis was able to bring, and now DJ Reed is here. I got some ticket texts coming in. Easy choice between Allen and Hooker as far as the backup quarterback situation is concerned, even without any preseason games being played. Allen has some experience and has won games in the NFL. Hooker has to secure the football better. Give the guy a break. BW from St. Clair Shores. I can understand that Kyle Allen has won games, and I see there's that experience factor, and the experience factor matters for the Lions. We saw last year when they brought Teddy Bridgewater back, and he was the guy that went into the game when Goff had to come out for a play. Another ticket text, unnamed, says, neither one will win you any games. I disagree with that. I think the Lions' offense is good enough that depending on your opponent that they can get things going with that first-team offense. You're still handing the ball off to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and you're still throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporte, and Jameson Williams. It's a really good offense. I think they'd be able to win some games if they had to go to the backup, but you don't want to have to go to the backup. Hendon Hooker is Darko. That's from Dan. Not quite because he was a third-round pick. Had they used a first-round pick on a quarterback and not played him at this point, then I think you could say that. And if Hendon Hooker is Darko, that means the Lions will win a Super Bowl. Right, Kang? Is that how that works?
Exactly.
I think I'm allowed to make that extrapolation. Gator, if Trey Lance continues to play well, why not call up the Chargers and trade for Heinicke? He'd be a much better backup than anything we have right now. We also should give Carson Wentz a shot. He's still sitting out there. Hooker experience is over. then it wasn't satisfying. That's from Marlin in Walled Lake. Well, I don't know if the Hooker experience is done yet here. I think there's no question Kyle Allen has taken a big step forward based on his play last Friday night. But there's still two preseason games left to play, and I hope both quarterbacks offer up a lot. And you know what? The best thing for the Lions is that Kyle Allen takes another step forward and gives and instills all the confidence in the world that he's the guy. And I know people want me to come out here and say things like, oh, let's defend him, defend Hendon Hooker all you want. Look, I love the talent that's in the arm of Hendon Hooker. I just don't think that he's processing the game as quickly as is necessary at this point. And for Kyle Allen, he's able to process it a little bit faster right now, and he's got the leg up. Do I think the competition's over? No, I don't, but I think it's way advantage Kyle Allen right now. And the most damning thing that happened to show you that was that Dan Campbell took out Hendon Hooker after the second turnover, put Kyle Allen in while there was still time in the first half. That, to me, that's the most damning thing. So we'll see what kind of strategy they use or they employ this week when they take on the Dolphins, what they do when they have the joint practices, how that's going to work, I'm not sure. Stoney is back at our studios in Southfield, the Jimmy Samuelson Studios. How are you, Stoney?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine. A little warm out here, but hey, it's all right. It's beautiful football weather, right?
Yes, it's the summers are supposed to be.
That's right.
You know,
hot and sticky.
Absolutely. By the way, Gator, I have a question, protocol question.
Sure.
For Champ and Chump, can it be the same person?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. If you've got reasoning, go ahead.
My Champ and Chump is Tommy Fleetwood. He's the Chump for choking again in the final round of a PGA tournament. He still hasn't won one. And he's the Champ because he got interviewed afterwards and was a gentleman and all that. A lot of guys, after another meltdown, would not even talk to the media, and he did. So he's my champ.
So he's a champ because he talked to the media.
He's a champ because he was honest as far as like people, idiots like Rory McIlroy, who won't talk after they play poorly and things like that. So, yeah, I give him credit.
Well, to answer your question more accurately, yes, Doug actually had the same Champ and Chump today. It was Matt Vierling.
Oh, okay.
Matt Vierling for hitting the home run on Friday night, giving the Tigers the win, and Matt Vierling's oblique for not being good enough to remain healthy.
Well, that could be a blessing in disguise because now Javi gets to play center where he seems to be able to hit better even when he's playing center. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully Trey Sweeney can hit this time around.
Yeah.
And that would make everything all better and make bad thoughts go away, although neither can pitch, and that seems to be a Tigers issue right now. What's coming up on the show this afternoon, fellas?
Hookers. I just hooker. That's about it. You know? No, we'll talk about the Tigers weekend. Yes. And yes, we will address the Hendon Hooker situation. Pretty disappointing.
I don't think it's a situation anymore. I just think we can go ahead and pack this guy up. I've seen enough.
Pretty much.
Well, did you see enough from – I mean, the only thing I'm not pushing back big on this, believe me. I think Kyle Allen took a big step forward, and Hendon Hooker did not. In fact, Hendon Hooker took a big step back when he turned the ball over twice like he did. But I also remember the previous week where Kyle Allen threw a couple of horrific interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So he learned from those mistakes and was much better.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still competition, but I think it's Kyle Allen's to lose at this point.
No, Gator, this has nothing to do with Kyle Allen. I've seen enough. Like, this guy has shown me nothing that he's an NFL quarterback, period. So, and the most damning thing was right before the playoffs, and you've had the whole time in the system, and they went out and got somebody who hadn't played all year because they had more faith in Teddy Bridgewater than Hendon Hooker. Then why is he still here?
They wanted the guy who had experience, and you don't get experience unless you play, and he didn't get the call. Fair enough. Look forward to you guys coming up this afternoon. Stoney in for Valeni. Rico, of course. It's all next year at 97.1 The Ticket. 97.1
The Ticket. Appliance emergency? ABC Warehouse has got you covered. Unexpected appliance breakdown? Don't stress. ABC has flexible financing options to make it easy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.